Welcome to the Simple Bible Course. My name is Josh Watson, and this is Session 8, The Law and Wilderness. Last session, we looked at the life of Moses, a very important man in the history of Israel. After Joseph and the rest of his family had died in Egypt, many years later, that one family multiplied into a nation of Israelites and had become so numerous that the new Pharaoh decided to kill all their baby boys. That's when God chose to protect a certain Hebrew baby who later would become the one to lead the Israelites out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, and then to give to both Israel, as well as to all of us, the Ten Commandments, or God's law. This baby, Moses, grew up in the palace of Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter for 40 years, and then left and went to Midian after it was heard that he had killed an Egyptian man. He remained there 40 years, until God spoke to him one day from a burning bush and told him to go lead the Israelites out of Egypt. So he went, and after 10 great plagues, he led the Israelites out of the country, gave them the law at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and then lived with them for 40 years in the wilderness until he died right as they were about to enter the Promised Land, Canaan. That's a summary of Moses' life. But I want to back up to when it was about 3 months after they had come out of Egypt, when they had reached Mount Sinai. At this point, it's Exodus chapter 19, and God is about to give to them the Ten Commandments. And God decided to do it in such a way that they would never forget, so that they would fear him. He told the Israelites to cleanse themselves, put everything in order, and be ready for him to come down into their midst on the third day. And when they heard the trumpet blast on the third day, they were supposed to come right up to the mountain, but not cross the border around it. Well, the third day came, the trumpet blasted, the Israelites came out, and God came down on Mount Sinai with power. He covered the whole mountain with smoke, caused lightning flashes everywhere, gave the appearance of a huge fire on the mountain, caused lots of loud thundering, and even shook the mountain as well. All of this to go along with the trumpet sound and his own voice, God's voice, speaking to them the Ten Commandments. So to say the least, the Israelites got another good taste of how powerful and how awesome God is. God then wrote those same Ten Commandments on tablets of stone and gave them to Moses to keep. And this is what they were. First commandment said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Nothing should be more important to us than God. Second, "You shall not make or bow down to any image." God hates idols of any kind. Third, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." God's name is holy and therefore should always be used with utmost respect. Fourth, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." We should take one day a week to set apart as holy and rest on it. Fifth, "Honor your father and mother." We should always respect the parents that God gave us. Sixth, "Don't murder." God gives life, only he has the right to take it away. Seventh, "Don't commit adultery." God brings people together. No man should separate them. God hates divorce. Eighth, "Don't steal." God gives, only he should take away. Ninth, "Don't bear false witness." Always speak the truth. And finally, "Don't covet." Be content with what God's given you. Those are the Ten Commandments, the standard of holiness that Israel, as well as all of us, are held to by God. That was given to the Israelites from Mount Sinai. This then brings us to the last main part of the book of Exodus. After the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites, from Exodus 25 to 40, God gave instructions on how to build the tabernacle, a place where they would bring offerings and sacrifices in order to worship God, and a place where his glory would dwell among them. God told Moses that the tabernacle was to have two main rooms, the first room being the holy place, and the second or inner room called the most holy place, or Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was to be kept, and where only the high priest was allowed to enter one time a year to make atonement for the entire nation. That was on the Day of Atonement. You see, there were many priests but there was only one high priest. And there were many occasions to offer a sacrifice on the altar outside the tabernacle, or to offer incense inside the holy place. But there was only one occasion, one day a year, when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat as an atonement for the sins of the entire nation of Israel for that whole year. And this mercy seat was located on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, and the Ark of the Covenant was a special box covered with gold that had inside of it the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on it that God gave to Moses. In fact, that's why it was called the Ark of the Covenant, because it had the Old Covenant, or the law, inside it. And above that room, the Holy of Holies, and above the tabernacle, the glory of God shined in the form of a cloud, which was called the Shekinah glory. That cloud showed God's presence among them, and anytime God wanted to move the Israelites from one place to another in the wilderness, God would lift the cloud, the Israelites would then pack up, and then as the cloud moved, the Israelites would follow it until it stopped, and then they would set up the new camp. And so after all these instructions about the tabernacle were given, in the last chapter of Exodus, Exodus 40, the tabernacle was finally erected and set up, exactly 1 year after they had all come out of Egypt. But now the obvious thing is, after they had set up the tabernacle, they now needed to know how to use it properly and who should do what. And that's what the book of Leviticus is mainly about. In fact, the reason why the book's called Leviticus is because it's a book of instructions mainly for the Levites, the descendants of Jacob's son Levi, because they were the ones specifically selected by God to do all the work in and around the tabernacle. Taking it down, putting it up, and maintaining it were jobs divided among all the Levites. But the actual offering of the sacrifices was to be done only by the Levites who were descendants of Aaron, Moses' brother. They were the ones called priests. So you have the first seven chapters of Leviticus giving instructions about the different types of offerings: burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. Then in chapter 8, you have Aaron and his descendants ordained as the priests. Again, only Aaron's descendants were the actual priests, the ones making the sacrifices on the altar. Then in chapter 11 to 16 are the instructions to Israel on cleanliness and purity. God's people were to live clean and to remain pure, physical cleanliness being a picture of the much greater need for spiritual purity. Then from Leviticus chapter 17 to the end of the book, God gives further instructions on holiness and living separate from the rest of the nations around them. They were God's chosen people, and God wanted them to appear that way and live that way. And right after that comes the book of Numbers, which is basically Moses' record of all that happened during the 40 years the Israelites were in the wilderness. It starts off with all the Israelite soldiers being counted since they were getting ready to fight the Canaanites. Then they traveled to the edge of Canaan, and Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan to see what it was like. 10 of them came back saying the Canaanites were too big to fight, they should just turn back. While two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Yeah, they're big, but God promised us this land, so let's fight." Unfortunately, pretty much all the army and the people agreed with the 10 spies. And as a punishment for not believing God, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day the spies spied out the land. And so that's what the book of Numbers is about. All that happened while the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan. For example, fairly soon after the spies were sent into Canaan, a Levite man named Korah and some followers of his came to Moses and Aaron and accused them of unnecessarily exalting themselves over everyone else when really all of the people were just as holy as them. That's what they said. Moses and Aaron didn't really need to do or say much after this, because the very next day, God made it very clear to everyone who his chosen leaders were and who weren't. The next day, all the people separated themselves from Korah and a couple of his followers named Dathan and Abiram. Then God did something pretty incredible. He opened up the earth splitting the ground beneath the three men, and caused them to fall into it, and then sealed the earth back up. As it says in the Bible, the earth swallowed them up. Nothing like it had ever been done before. But that wasn't all. God also sent fire to consume and kill all the other followers who opposed Moses and Aaron as well. So the lesson was, respect God's leaders and don't try to replace them with yourself. Another lesson they needed to learn in the wilderness was to stop complaining about food and water and saying that it'd be better if they never left Egypt. That kind of complaining continued even to chapter 21 of Numbers to such an extent that God sent, it says, fiery serpents or poisonous snakes among them that bit them and caused many of them to die. Moses then prayed for the Israelites, and so God told him to put a bronze serpent on a pole, and anyone that went and looked at the pole, believing that it would heal them, God would heal. And many of them were healed that way. And then a little while after this, in Numbers 22 to 24, a very interesting story happens. It was toward the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, and the Israelites were now moving towards the territory of the Moabites. Now the Moabite king Balak, just like all the other Moabites, was scared of the Israelites because they had been hearing of how powerful this God of theirs was and all that God had done to Egypt as well as to the other enemies since then. So, in an effort to protect himself and the nation of Moab, he sent for a man named Balaam to come to Moab and to curse the Israelites for him. Balak even offered Balaam all the riches and honor he wanted. But God told Balaam not to go, so he didn't. However, after constant pleading, Balaam finally decided to go, but this wasn't God's will. So God caused Balaam's donkey to not cooperate with him and to go off in the wrong direction. Now here's where the story gets really interesting. Balaam strikes his donkey, hits him, because it's not going where he wants it to. So God causes the donkey to talk to him. The donkey literally talks to Balaam. It says, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And when the donkey said all this, God immediately allowed Balaam to see the angel that was in front of them that was guarding the way, which the donkey was trying to avoid. Pretty cool. Needless to say, Balaam got the point, and so once he arrived in Moab, and he went with Balak to look down on all the Israelites, he actually blessed them instead of cursing them. Not just once, but three times he blessed them. The Israelites were God's chosen people with whom he had a special covenant, and so nothing would be able to stop them. And then after all this, at the very end of Numbers, and at the end of the 40 years, they came up to the border of Canaan and were about to enter in. That's when they numbered their soldiers again, because all of the other soldiers had died in the wilderness. It was a new generation. So basically, the book of Numbers starts with numbering soldiers and ends with numbering soldiers. That's why it's called Numbers. Then comes the last book Moses wrote, Deuteronomy, a book which is basically Moses' farewell speech to the Israelites because he knows he's about to die and Israel is about to enter into the Promised Land. Deuteronomy literally means second law. And in it, Moses goes over the laws a second time right before they enter into the Promised Land. First, Moses reviews all their journeys in the wilderness, and then from chapters 5 to 26, he reviews with them all the laws that God gave them that they needed to obey and follow once they got into the Promised Land. All these laws starting with the Ten Commandments. Then Moses tells them what their future is going to be like in Canaan. He said, if they obey God's commands and follow him, God would bless them greatly, more than they could imagine. But if they disobeyed God and worshiped other gods and idols, they would experience curses instead, lots of hardship and pain. So their future depended on how they lived. And then finally, in chapters 31 to 34, Moses commissioned Joshua as the new leader, said his final farewell, and then died. And it says that God buried him. So that's the end of the first five books of the Bible, all written by Moses. The first book is called Genesis because it tells us the beginning of everything. And it and it includes four important events: creation, the fall, the Tower of Babel, and the flood, and four important people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The second book is called Exodus because it tells us of Israel leaving Egypt. It can be divided into three parts: the story of the Exodus, the law or Ten Commandments, and the construction of the tabernacle. Leviticus, named after the Levites, can be summed up in just two parts. A relationship with God requires a sacrifice, and a daily walk with God requires cleanliness, holiness of life. Then Numbers, named so because the Israelite army was numbered at the beginning and then again at the end, and it covers the 40 years that Israel spent in the wilderness. And then finally, Deuteronomy, Moses' final reminder to Israel of God's law and his farewell speech before he died. This wraps up the first five books of the Bible and brings the Israelites right up to the border of Canaan and under a new leader. Next session, we'll look at that new leader, Joshua, and how he led Israel into the Promised Land, their new home.